6:34.
Art School, let's read it, professor.
So it's Tubav, Tavshanayin Gimel. The Tubav is a good time to start preparing for Yoina. It's the beginning of this period. We know that there are Shnei Yomim, Tavim. There weren't days like Yom Kippur and Tubav for Klal Yisrael. Those were the two best days. So on Tubav, we'll start preparing for Yom Kippur. And everyone is sort of familiar with Sefer Yoina because we lay in it every year on Yom Kippur, but it's only, unfortunately, very superficial because it takes about 25 minutes, and it's while we're hungry and tired already. So, a little bit of background. So Yoina ben Amitai he's one of the Trei Asar, he's one of the 12 Nevi'im. They're less famous, they're on a stature lower than the famous Nevi'im, like Elio. But he was a Talmud of Elio, Hanavi, and he was anointed by him. There's a Medrash that says that he was on the level of Elio. Now, there are a lot of Midrashim that talk about the greatness of Yoina. There's a Medrash that says that when he came to Simchas B'Sheva, to Yerushalayim, he had a Ruach HaKodesh. There's a Medrash that says that when he was Nifter, he didn't die even of that. He went up without a natural death. So the question is, the question that we'll pose is, what he was obviously a tzaddik even before the story of Yoina, even the story of Nineveh. The question is, are these Midrashim talking about a stature before or after? Because on the other hand, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that that the Mishnah says the laws of Nevius. So the Mishnah gives an example. What you're not a Navi is not allowed to be Koivish Nevuasa. He's not allowed to suppress a message that he gets from Hashem to send out. And the Mishnah says, who's an example to such a person? The Mishnah says that's Yoina. The Gemara says that he's Chayav Misa, such a person. So the question is, what was Yoina thinking? So there are a few explanations. First of all, there's what was the halachic justification for Yoina to suppress his Nevius? And second of all, why would he do such a thing? Another thing that we have to think about when we talk about Yoina is, what's the story? We all know that Hashem sent Yoina to tell Nineveh to be Chodesh B'Tshuva. Why are we recording this Nevi'ah for us, for Klal Yisrael? In other words, we know that there were many Nevi'im. There are 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ahs. And not all of what they said was recorded. Only specific stories, only specific Nevi'ahs were recorded. So, and they all have a message for us. The question is, why something that had to do with non-Jews has a message for us? And this really comes down to why we say we learn Yoina and Yom Kippur. Because there's Yoina, what he's trying to do then. And Malbim and Mefarshim explain, Malbim explains at length, that really what Yoina was coming to do, what Hashem was trying to do by being Machzer Nineveh B'tshuva, who is Nineveh? So he says Nineveh was Assyria, was Ashur. And this was really a preparation for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Hashem already saw that the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed. So he didn't want Asher, who were big Rishayim, to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And they'll say, how could Hashem let Rishayim destroy Klal Yisrael? So therefore, he wanted them to be Chodesh B'Tshuva, to be on a higher level. And then it won't seem so unnatural. They never destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I don't mean the Beis HaMikdash. They took into Golos the Ten Shvatim. What did it?
I'm going to say that the other big question is, how could Yonah flee from Hashem?
What was he thinking, fleeing from Hashem? What was he thinking? He was obviously a tzaddik. He was zochet to nevuah. He had a relationship with Hashem. What was he thinking, trying to run away? So let's start. And then there's this Yona, there's a Pashat Pshat, and then there's a deeper level, which the Zohar already says, the Yona is a mashal to the neshama that comes to this world. And the Gra has a whole, the Pirsha Gra and Yona is very famous. He basically explains the whole Sefer Yona based on this deeper level of the neshama coming down to this world and dealing with this world. He explains the Yona, he says, it's on three levels. There's Yona then, there's Yona the neshama, the individual that comes down to this world. He's sent down, go to Nineveh. So the Goyen explains that it comes from Nineveh, it comes from Nevehu, his garden. Go down there and go into the sea. And why? Because we'll explain. And then there's a third level, the Yona, which is Klal Yisrael. You know, the Yona is Nimshal to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says the famous story with Elisha Baal Kanafayim, that the Romans said you're not allowed to wear tefillin, and Elisha wore tefillin, and suddenly there was this Roman officer that saw him, so he started running away, and he put his tefillin in his hands, and the officer finally reached him, and he said, "What do you have in your hands?" He said, "I have pigeon wings in my hands." So he said, "Show me your pigeon wings." He opens up, and a pigeon flew out. So the Gemara says the same, that the Knesset Yisrael is Nimshu Yonasi Tamasi. Shirashim, we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu calls Klal Yisrael my pigeon. So the Gemara explains a few things. There are a few attributes that a pigeon has. One is that it's always loyal to its mate, as opposed to other, and it's true today. It's confirmed scientifically. That's the way the pigeons behave. And the Gemara says that the same way a pigeon guards over itself, not with its a beak, rather with its knafayim, with its wings. That's the way it protects itself. And the same, Klal Yisrael also, they protect themselves with their mitzvahs, which is like their wings. So he said that's what El Hashem El Yona. Yona means Klal Yisrael was nimshel to Yona. Ben Amitai means the son of the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how the Gemara explains. So let's read the psukim. Let's start reading the psukim and see where we get. Vahid dvar Hashem El Yona ben Amitai lemor. This was the word of Hashem to Yonah, the son of Amitai. Kum leich el Ninveh ha'ir agdola, ukra aleha. Go down to Ninveh, the big city, and call out to it. Ki al sara asam lefonai, because their bad deeds have come up in front of me, and they're hard to suppress. So if you look at the pasuk, it's noticeable that he doesn't say exactly what to tell it to them. It says ukra aleha. Call out to them. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out to them. Kiel sara asam lefanai, and because their bad deeds have come up in front of me. So the Malbim says that the reason Yonah had a justification of suppressing his nevuah, because it wasn't a nevuah. Suppressing a nevuah is when Hashem gives a particular, very specific message. Go say so and so to so and so. But here it was more general, it was more vague. Therefore, he felt that it wasn't a complete nevuah, it was just a message that Hashem wanted him to give over. It was more like Hashem was encouraging him to give Musar. Therefore, he felt that it wasn't necessary for him to go, halachically. Then the pasuk continues, pasuk Gimel. Vayakom Yonah livrach Tarshisha. So Yonah stood up to run away to Tarshish. Some of Farshim explain it's Africa. Marie Kara says, Afrikaya. It's Africa, it doesn't say where exactly. Milifnei Hashem. And he wanted to run away from Hashem. It's a funny thing to do. So let's first finish the pasuk. Vayered Yafo. And he went down to Yafo, the port city. Vayimtza Aniya. And he found a ship, Ba Tarshish, going to Tarshish. Vayitain Schora. And he gave the fee. So here there's a difference of opinions exactly what it means. The Ibn Ezra and the Radak just say that he gave what his specific fee was, but the Rashi says more. He was so nervous, he wanted to make sure he could leave Eretz Yisrael. He gave the full fee beforehand, even though the way they do it, they used to do it was to give half the fee in the beginning and then or the whole fee later on after the journey was over, because there was risk involved. And not only that, he paid for the full fee of all the people going to the sea. In other words, he wanted to leave. So he said, "Okay, you're not fully booked. I'll pay for the rest of the seats." The Gemara Nedarim actually proves from here that the Gemara says that all the Nevi'im were rich people, were wealthy people, and the Gemara brings a proof from Yonah, from this pasuk, that he was able to pay up the sailmen, the sailors. So what was he thinking, running away? So do you have Rashi there or not?
No.
You don't have Rashi.
And it's a parish, but it's an eclectic parish, basically.
Uh-huh. So he says, the reason he wanted to go away to Tarshish, so Rashi explains, because the Eina Shechina Shor B'Chutz La'aretz. The Shechina does not rest upon people in Chutz La'aretz. So he felt he'll go, he'll leave the land of Israel, and then he won't have Shechina, then he won't have to interact with Hashem, he won't have to do this. And we don't know yet why he doesn't want to do it. So Hashem told him, trust me, I have a way of getting you. It's a mashal, he says, le'eved kohen, to a slave who is a kohen, which is really impossible, but, well, it is, I guess, eved ivri is possible. Shebarach min rabba, he ran away from his owner, v'nichnas le'beis ha'kvaras, and he went into a Beis HaKfaros. So why into Beis HaKfaros? Because Beis HaKfaros is a place where it's Tumah. In other words, he wanted to go to a place where he had less interaction. He didn't have to be at his full spiritual height. So Amar Lo Rabbi says, so his master told him, Yesh li avadim kayetzabach lishloach acharecha ulaviyacha misham. I have ways of getting you from there. I'll have other slaves that will get you out of that slave. If you think you got away from me by going to the cemetery, trust me, I have ways of getting you out. So that's what Hashem is telling him here. So then Rashi says, "Umaro Yonah shalei rotzel leilach laNinveh. Why did Yonah see not to go to Nineveh? Omar ha'akum kroyve tshuva. So this is a very interesting thing he said. He said non-Jews are close to tshuva. Im oimar lohem v'yasu tshuva. If I'll tell them and they will do tshuva, nimtzeisi mechayv es Yisrael. It will come out that I'm jeopardizing Yisrael, because Yisrael were not at the highest spiritual state then. She'ein shomim divrei nevim, because they have many nevim and they don't listen to them most of the time. So therefore, he felt uncomfortable going to Yisrael. So the Medrash says, they bring down here, that the Medrash says that it's that there was the son and the father, meaning Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and Yonah is more concerned about the son than about the father. But really, there was a burning love for Klal Yisrael here that was pushing him from going to Nineveh. So he was a tzaddik, obviously, but he didn't feel comfortable jeopardizing Israel. But what was wrong was, there's a son and there's a father. You have to be concerned about the father more, like the, this is, I'm connecting, the Gemara says, by Ein Sheikh Dvar Avera, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. The halach is that you can't make a shliach, you can't make an emissary to do an Avera. It won't work. If you need some kind of to give over some kind of power to the shliach. So the Gemara explains, divrei rab, divrei talmid, if there's a rab and there's a talmid, there's a master and there's a student, who do you listen to? Divrei mi shomim. You have to listen to the rab. So to hear, that was his mistake. Okay. V'Hashem heitil ruach gdol alayam. And Hashem sent a big wind, a big storm to the sea. Vayisar gadol bayam, there was a huge storm. V'ha'aniyach yishval yishaver, and the ship, the boat was about to break. So the Medrash says here that it was an isolated incident. In other words, it was open sea, and there were many ships, going back and forth, and only around the ship was there a storm. So they understood that there's something going on here. So the pasuk continues, "Vayiru amalochim," and the malochim, the sailmen, saw, or more correctly, they were scared. That's how Targum says, "The chilus of Naya," they were scared. "Vayizaku isha leloyhav," and each one of them started crying out to his gods. Rashi says, "Min shivim umay shel akum hayisham." They're people from all 70 nations. Representatives of all 70 nations. Interesting thing that Rashi is saying here, that they had a wide representation. Vayatilu esakelim asher baniya alayam, ulahakel maleim, and they started throwing out vessels and all kinds of belongings to lighten up the ship. And then the pasuk ends, V'yoyna yorad el yarkasei asfina, and Yonah went down after he saw what's going on there. So, okay, this is not for me. V'yorad el yarkasei asfina went down to his, what's it called?
The hold.
What?
The hold.
But yeah, but what is it called when each one has his room? What are the rooms on the ship called? His cabin. He went down to his cabin. V'yishka v'yoradam. And he lied down and he fell asleep. What's going on? How does this make any sense? What was he thinking? I mean, what kind of actions are these? How does that make any sense? Does anyone have any ideas? So the Malbim here says that, generally speaking, by Yeradam is a very deep sleep. So I don't know the deeper meanings. I didn't see the Groya, what he explains in his, on a deeper level. But he understood, Yon understood well that this all was happening because of him, because he's running away from Hashem. So what he was trying to do ultimately was trying to get away from Hashem, and he's still on his mission to get away from Hashem. He sees Hashem is coming after him. He's making a huge storm. So what does he do? He's scared that what Hashem will do, he'll spit him out of the ship with the storm and get him back to land. So what Yonah is trying to do is stay in the ship. So what does he do? He goes to the bottom of the ship and tries to stay as passive as possible. That's what he tries to do. That's how the Malbim explains. Doesn't completely explain to me why did he go to sleep? The Marie Kara explains that he wasn't nervous about anything. He didn't care what would happen to the ship. I have a hard time understanding that. Right, but what kind of thing is that to go to sleep? Just indifference, what?
So, God can either kill him or stop the storm. It doesn't matter.
Indifference. Right. What?
Avoidance.
Yeah, so that... Right, so it sounds like he has nothing... He is doing what he's doing, and he's running away from Hashem. So he has nothing better to do now. He goes to sleep.
It's the ultimate escape.
So the next pasuk really brings it out. Because... Vayikrav Elov Rabba Choyvel, so the chief salesman comes over to him. Vayomer lo, and he tells him, Malach Nirdam. This is the ultimate cry of El. You know, Uru Yesheni Mishnaschem. What are you falling asleep? Kum kra elalikecha. Stand up and cry out to your God. Ulai yisasheisa elakim lanu v'loinoivet. Maybe your God will respond to us, and we won't disappear. In other words, there is some kind of recognition. They don't know yet who he is. He didn't ask him who he is. That comes later, but there is some kind of recognition that maybe with a joint effort from all of them, they'll be able to appeal to. They'll be able to overturn this. They understand that it's something supernatural because they see it's just happening to their ship. Now this is more in sync with I think Ramban's sheet in general, the way he understands Avodah Zarah and the pasuk of Eschanan that we had this past week. The pasuk says that all these kochavim and mazalos that I give to the nations, the you, Klal Yisrael, shouldn't serve them. So Ramban says the reason the other nations serve to this other intermediary is because each one of the 70 nations has a mazal, has their own malach, has their own powers. So they could really appeal to those powers, and that's the way Hashem set up the world. That could be why Rashi says there are the representatives there from each one of the 70 nations. And they're really trying to appeal, you know, it's not separate religions or each one had their own powers. That's what it means. They're gods. It doesn't mean to the exclusion of Hashem. It just means they're appealing to the powers that may be. So Vayomru Pasuk Zayin, Vayomru Ishel Reu, and each one told to his friend, L'chu v'napil gorolos. Let's make a lottery. V'neida b'shel mi. It's interesting, it's put in one word, b'shel mi, because of whom, hara azayis lanu, this bad is happening to us, v'yapilu goralos, and they made the lottery, v'yipola goral al Yonah, and the lottery fell on Yonah. So v'yoyim roi lov. So now they're really interested. And at first, the chief salesman saw that he's sleeping, so he said, okay, start working. But now they saw that this is really something is happening, something because of him. Vayomer Elov, and they told him, Hagida na lanu, Hagida na, na always means Lashon Bakasha. Means please tell us. Suddenly they're talking to him like they're not screaming at him, they're not talking down to him, they're not, you almost don't see that they're upset. Vashalom lemia razas, it's coming, there's a tone of respect here. Vashalom mia razas lanu, tell us why is this Ra happening to us? Ma malachtecha, what is your job? What is your trade? Me'ayin tova, from where do you come? Mar tzecha, what is your land? Ve'e mize am ata, from what nation do you come? So what does he answer? What?
He answers the last question first.
Vayoymer aleim ivri anoichi. I am an ivri. Ves Hashem elokei ha-shamayim ani yorei. And I serve Hashem. Asher osa es hayam ves hayabasha. So it's hard to understand. He's not answering the questions. He does answer one of the questions. And then he sort of stops there. Right, so what is his answer? So first of all, the Gro explains here, Ves Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Ani Yorei, he's saying basically what his malach is. You were asking me what is my job? My job is to fear God. It's a mashal to the person that comes down to this world, and people ask him, what is your job? Ma malachta, what are you busy with? He says, Ves Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Ani Yorei, I fear God, but. Asher also say Yom Vesay Abasha, that created the land and the sea and the Abasha. Meaning, they explain here, the Mefarshim explain, that I the same way Hashem could reach me, what I see now, the same way I could be reached on land, could be reached at sea as well. Hashem reached me here as well. They didn't really get an answer to their question. They asked him, what's wrong? The Rashi explains, Ma malachtecha, Shema pashata bum nusecha, maybe you did something wrong when you were working. Maybe the reason Hashem is punishing you is not because of you, but it's because of the nation you're coming from. Or maybe it's because of the land that you come from. They're deserving of some kind of punishment. And he just tells them a blanket statement that he's serving God. And he tells them who he is also. So the next passage says, Vayiru anoshim yiru gdolo, they feared a great fear. Vayoyimru elo mazay sasisa, they told him, what did you do? Kiyodu anoshim, because they understood, ki milifnei Hashem uberech, that he's running away from Hashem, ki higidloim, because he told them. So this is very interesting. They didn't get a direct answer of why he's being punished. But what they do understand is that he's serving Hashem. Elokei Hashamayim v'Elokei Haaretz, that is all powerful. And that's why they got so scared. He said, "Kimlifne." They understood. Why did they get scared? Ki yadu anoshim, because what they did understand, and what they did hear, is Kimlifne Hashem Barech. He's running away from Hashem. Ki higidlaim, because he told them. Where did he tell them that? He didn't tell them anything. What does Ilam think? It's an interesting thing, no? The pasuk says Kihigidlan, because he told them.
There's actually a lot to
go on. What?
They did a lot in the lottery, so they.
So they could have said they figure it out. Right. That's what the Mitzvah David basically says. He says Kihilim Rasulim Al Piyad Dvarim Shomar. Based on what he told them, Hevinu Amitas Inyan Kiilu Higidlan Befem Alitz. It's as if he told them. Beferish. It's just he told them explicitly that he's running away from Hashem. But it's, in other words, by definition, when you say that you're serving Hashem and you're in such close contact with Hashem, and now something is happening to you, so if obviously what's happening to you is because you're leaving away, you're going away from Hashem. In other words, with greater spiritual height comes greater responsibility. And if a person, that's the whole medrash before about Tumah. The fact that he's close to Hashem, the fact that he says, "What mamalachtecho? What do you do? I'm a God-fearer." He's basically saying, I'm in a very high spiritual level. And now he's here in the yam. What do they do? They see him go down to his cabin in the ship while everything is happening. They understood that what's happening to him is because of him going, trying to distance himself away from Hashem. By definition, every time a person does, a Jew does an Aveira, he's, Yonah, Klal Yisrael does an Aveira, he's distancing himself from Hashem. And that's how Hashem tries to pull him back, tries to pull back the ship. So and but they got very scared. So the pasuk says, "Vayom re'elov mana aselach, vayishtoy kayom elenu." So they said, "Okay, when you have an issue with Hashem, with God, it's a serious problem. What are we going to do? What do we do now? Ki ayom ha'olach v'soyer. We're going to be destroyed here." Vayom re'elayim. So he told them, "Sauni v'hatiluni elayom. Pick me up and throw me into the sea." And then the sea will quiet down. Ki yodea ani, because I know. Ki b'shali hasar agadol hazeh aleichem. But really, you didn't do anything wrong. You're just minding your own business. It's because of me. Just throw me into the yam. So the Malbim says, Rotzel loymar, ein ani roitzel loshuv lo lechas l'ninveh. I don't want to go to Ninveh. So I don't want to go neither back to my land or to Nineveh. Because this whole storm is coming to punish me. So he is basically, he's still not giving up. He's adamant. He's basically saying, throw me, kill me. He's not saying, okay, let's go back to Israel, go to Nineveh. He has a solution right now. He could have said, okay, listen, you want to be saved? Bring me to Nineveh. I'll tell them what I have to do. I realize that there's no way of running away from Hashem. And that would be the solution to the problem. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't want to do that, the Malbim says. He loves Klal Yisrael so much that he prefers to die than to fulfill Hashem's word. It's very interesting. It shows the stubbornness the stubbornness of Yonah. But it shows also that it wasn't just, he was really serious about this. It was coming from a good place. In other words, even when he's in direct contact with Hashem, and he knows what's going on, he knows he's doing something wrong, but he has enough confidence to stick to his notion. The Rav Dessler talks about the concept of golus. He talks the concept of how could it be that when we sin, so what does Hashem do? He's talking about golus. So what does Hashem do? Hashem sends us out to golus to do more of theirs. It's even worse. We're out in golus. We're influenced by the nations, and we're even worse off than when we were in the base of Migdash. So the opposite. Hashem should try to put us in a situation where we'll do good. So the Gemara says that in Ben David Ba, that Mashiach won't come unless it's a Dor Chayv or a Dor Zakai. It's a completely righteous generation or a generation that's completely liable. So he explains, well, how could it be that a generation that's completely liable will be able to be Zeichet Mashiach? So he says there are two kinds of Yetzirah. There is a spiritual Yetzirah and there is a physical Yetzirah. What does that mean? That there is a regular Yetzirah that we all know, that I want to sleep, I want to eat, I'm lazy, that my physical me is pulling me down, basically. And then there is a spiritual Yetzirah. For example, the examples he brings is, you'll walk in a place where you're not allowed to learn, in the bathroom, and suddenly you want to learn. Yetzirah will tell you to do something. Why would I want to do that? It's not my physical Yetzirah. It's something spiritual. The Yetzirah is, on a spiritual level, is trying to pull me. So he brings down the story of Ravashi. That Ravashi was sitting in his yeshiva and is saying, he's talking about the Malach of Menashe, and who's a big Russian. He said, "Chaverai," he said, "our friends," meaning even though he's a couple hundred years ago, but really he was a big Rasha because he was a big Oved Avodah Zarah. So that night, Menashe came to him in a dream, and he said, "You have no right to say that. If you would have been in our generation," no. So he said, "I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham than you." So Rav Asher said, "Oh yeah, so teach me something." He said, "I'll teach you that Betzias Apas, that when you cut the bread, you have to cut it from the crust." Whatever. He taught him halachas. He said, "Oh, you're so great. So how come you sinned?" He said, "If you would be in my generation, you'd be holding up the bottom of your coat. In other words, so you could run fast. You should be able to run as fast as you can to do Avodah Zarah. At least we walked slowly. You would have been running." So Rav Dessler explains that in Eretz Yisrael, they're on such a high spiritual level, their Yitzhahara was a spiritual Yitzhahara. Their Yitzhahara was to do Avodah Zarah, which is more of a spiritual Yitzhahara. And that Rav Asher didn't understand. As the generations went by, Rav Asher is already after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they're on a level where the Yitzhahara was more physical, and their spiritual, when does the Yitzhahara kick in on a spiritual level? That's when we are on a higher spiritual level. When you're learning all day, then when you go into the bathroom, you want to learn, or whatever the spiritual Yitzhahara is. So that's when the Yitzhahara is trying to push you to do these things. Once we go down to a level where we're completely, you know, we're numb to spirituality, and we live a much more physical existence, and then that's the way Yitzhahara is working. It doesn't have to work on that higher gear, that spiritual gear. It's working on a completely physical gear. So then, in a way, even though we're worse off, but we're really much close, we're just a step away. The second we take off that Yitzhahara, we're close to Hashem. We're closer to coming back to Hashem. Why? Because we're not crooked. In other words, it's much harder to fix something that's spiritually off than if spiritually everything is okay. I know, I believe, of course, Hashem, the Torah, that I don't have a problem with. I have a problem getting out of bed. So the second I could convince myself to get out of bed, then everything else is in place. As opposed to those great people, their Yitzhahara was on a much higher spiritual level, but it was more problematic to fix it on that higher spiritual level. That's how he explains that idea of Dor Shekula Chayev, that a completely liable generation could be Zeichet HaMashiach, because in a way, we're straighter, and we're less krum, so to speak, we're less crooked spiritually than any other generation could possibly be. Because our whole challenge is a physical challenge. So it's very clear here with Yonah. The Yonah, his whole, even if he sinned, the sin is a completely spiritual sin. There is no physical involvement. It's coming out of love to Klal Yisrael. He loves Klal Yisrael so much that he can't bear to go over to Nineveh, because he knows, the Malbim explains, he knows that through that Hashem will allow them to bring half of Klal Yisrael into Golos. He couldn't bear that. He loved Klal Yisrael so much. That was a spiritual Yitzhara. It comes to show what a great person he was. So this is the beginning, and hopefully we'll continue. Now, the Pirsha Gra really is...